Hi, this is Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Welcome, Bark Radio listeners. We're talking to a really cool author today, and Terry ran across her when he was in Nevada recently at Best Friends, and I think you should do the intro, Terry.
Well, this is Michelle Sathy, and she wrote a really cool book called Pit Stops. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Terry.
Well, Michelle, I love the picture on the front. You know, you got this cool dog named Lauren, right?
Right.
And she, first of all, well, tell our listeners what made the book happen. What's the story behind the book?
Okay, well, last year I was turning 40, and I always wanted to take the Great American Road Trip, and I'm also a journalist, so I thought, I'll take my dog, go cross country, and write a book about it. And about 6 months prior to my birthday, I'd started volunteering. Actually, it was about a year prior to my birthday. I'd started volunteering at the Brittany Foundation, which is a no-kill rescue in Agua Dulce. And one day, I was just looking around the kennels, and I thought, I need to take one of these dogs. They need a vacation way more than my dogs do, who are very spoiled. And there was one dog in particular that I was in love with. Her name is Lauren. And I couldn't have her because I have two boys at home, and they're both kind of dog aggressive. So I thought, I'll take her. I'll take her with me. I knew she was very affectionate, and I knew that she was her ambassador for her breed, so it just kind of grew into this movement where we wanted to spread the word about pit bull awareness and homeless pet adoption.
Awesome, man. And now, how old is Lauren about?
She's 4 now. She was about 3 when we took our trip, and she had been rescued from a shelter in Los Angeles. She was about 9 months old, so she lived at the Brittany Foundation for about 2 years before we went on our trip.
Wow. Does she have a forever home now?
Well, I don't want to give away the ending. Let's just say it's very happy.
All right, sorry.
No, that's okay. It was a struggle for her to find her happy ending, but she did, and she's in a very good place. Let's just put it that way.
That's wonderful. Okay, so tell us about the trip. You threw Lauren in the car, and you had your laptop with you and everything probably, and off you went.
Yeah, actually, I'd started a blog before we left, and I knew that I had an itinerary in mind, and we had a couple animal welfare organizations and advocates contact us, or I should say contact me, and we went into these specific areas to meet them, and then along the way some spontaneous things happened too. Basically, I was trying to keep it to the perimeter of the country as much on the coastal areas as possible, and we went through 29 states in 50 days. We went to see some national landmarks. We went to the Grand Canyon. We went to Niagara Falls. We ate at a lot of different restaurants. I'm a big foodie, and I write restaurant profiles for the paper I work for. So there's a lot about food in the book too. And most of all, I get to shine a light on the incredible humane workers and volunteers and advocates that are doing so much to try to help bully breeds specifically and homeless pets in general, which is really nice because, to me, these people are just incredible heroes, and you don't hear much about their efforts, so I wanted to shine a light on them.
That's cool. I mean, and I agree. I mean, they're very underappreciated, that would be in quotes, because people just don't know.
Yeah, I think people don't really, when I say people, I mean the general public. I don't believe they understand how great the problem is facing the homeless pets in this country, and specifically pit bulls. And I'd like to believe that if they knew more, that they would either be more prone to adopting or even get into a volunteer mentality, because I believe that Americans really do love their pets, and if they knew what was going on in shelters and different areas across the country, that they might want to help try to turn it around.
I agree with you, Michelle. I think that so much of America is dog crazy in a good way, and I think it is a lack of education. They just don't know and would be appalled if they did, and I believe would either give money, time, or both if they really knew the story.
Exactly.
So, yes, shining that light is just, you know, you can't do it enough. And hopefully we can help get your story out there to more and more readers through our listeners, because it's a great story, and it's one that needs to be repeated often.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's really the story of animal lovers who, many of us have full-time jobs. or full-time careers, and yet we just feel so compelled to try to help these animals that need us because, unfortunately, there's a large segment of the population that are very irresponsible, whether they're not spaying or neutering their pets, whether they're trying to backyard breed to make money, whether they're fighting these dogs. You know, there's just so many different aspects of what's going on, and that's what I found kind of challenging is how to present that in a straightforward yet pleasant way, because I think people that aren't in the circle get kind of turned off by the extreme approach. I wanted to show that, you know, I wanted to show reality, but also show that there are people who are trying to turn it around.
Well, that's, yes, and thank you for doing that. I also agree. I think that there's so much negative, and for the folks that are living and breathing this every day, you kind of get stuck in that rut. So the positive spin, a lot more people will pay attention to. Great breed.
You hear so many negative things about pit bulls in the media, and I felt like Lauren was such a beautiful ambassador for her breed. She is the most affectionate dog. It was funny because I would take her to a groomer every once in a while or take her somewhere so I could get a break, and she would just walk away with them and act like, oh, bye, Michelle, see you later. You know, she loves everybody. And I had people come up when we were in the Grand Canyon, this family with two little kids, probably about 5 years old, and she was sitting in the shade because she's very much a diva and she didn't like to be hot or too cold, you know. And so she was sitting in the shade, and this family came over, and the little kid said, can we pet your dog? And I said, sure. And the mom said, oh, what kind of dog is that? And I said, oh, she's a pit bull. And her eyebrow kind of raised, but she let them pet him. And I think that it was really good for people to have a positive hands-on experience with a pit bull.
Oh, yeah, change those attitudes one person at a time.
Yeah, and change them in the kids, because you change that generation, and you make a huge impact.
Exactly. Exactly, and what you were saying about education, I also think it's a matter of providing resources to people that can't afford maybe to do the right thing by their dog. I think you're always going to have a segment of the population who are just irresponsible, whether it comes to their pets, whether it comes to their family, whether it comes to their work or whatever. But I think that there are people who maybe are in the low-income bracket that want to do the right thing but maybe don't have the finances to do that. You know, I think if we provide people with more resources like pet food or dog training or medical care, that kind of thing, I think we could reduce the number of intakes at the shelter.
I think you're absolutely right. And so, like, with all big, huge problems, there are many, many ways to approach it, some good, some bad, some incredible. We have great programs here in the Richmond area through especially our local SPCA. They have a number of programs in place addressing things like you're talking about, you know, helping folks keep their dogs.
Right.
Keep their dogs healthy. Okay, so that's enough about Richmond. Okay.
Okay.
So I have a question for you.
Sure.
About, okay, during this trip, is there a particular place or a particular dog or a particular rescue that you'd like to tell our listeners about, a story that just is one of your favorites?
Well, originally we weren't planning to go to Pittsburgh. We were going to go to Ohio, but then I was told by Stacy at the Animal Farm Foundation, which is an incredible pit bull sanctuary in upstate New York, that Ohio has several breed-specific legislation counties where pit bulls are not allowed, and therefore I decided to bypass Ohio. And instead we ended up going to Pittsburgh, which was suggested to me by a woman named Rebecca Cordad, who we met online, and she wanted us to come out there and meet the volunteers at Western Pennsylvania Humane Society. And so we got to do that, and that was really incredible. And we also were fortunate enough to meet Daisy and Amy of Hello Bully, which is a pit bull advocacy group in Pittsburgh. They provide spay and neuter. They provide resources. They provide dog training. It's a foster network. And Daisy became a really good kind of virtual friend of mine after the trip, and she would support me a lot when I would struggle with some of the challenges that were going on with Lauren. And she gave me a story about a dog named Murphy that she tried to save through Hello Bully, and that's one of the most touching stories in the whole book, actually. It's been known to make some of my rescue friends cry, and that's pretty hard to do.
Okay, so... Folks, we all have we all have to read the book to get the story.
Exactly.
There's Michelle.
There's several stories in there. I mean, we went to Animal Rescue New Orleans in Louisiana, of course, and that was really interesting too because the woman that runs that facility, her name's Charlotte Bass Lilly, she was telling me about Hurricane Katrina and some of the experiences she had with throwing 70-pound pit bulls over her shoulder and rescuing all these dogs and cats, and also about the human beings that they would find floating in the water, and I was just blown away. I can't even fathom that. It was interesting to take this trip because it was almost like a history book come to life for me.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like an amazing trip overall, and I am curious on one thing, given that given some of the biases against the bully breeds, where did you stay? I mean, I know hotels, well, some even dog-friendly hotels have weight limitations or breed discrimination.
We stayed at Motel 6. We stayed at Red Roof Inn. We stayed at Super 8, and we stayed at La Quinta. I was only asked once to fill out a form as far as the dog's breed, and I have to be honest. I mentioned this in the book that I put bulldog boxer mix or something like that because I was a little freaked out, like they might kick us out or something. But ultimately, what's interesting in the book, too, is that I found out that Lauren, we had her DNA done, and Lauren's actually a Staffordshire bulldog mix.
Interesting.
She's not a straight pit bull.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's so hard to tell, and people just jump to a conclusion.
It is hard to tell. It really is, and I think that's helpful, too, for people to understand that there's like 25 breeds that can be misidentified as pit bulls, and that's a real problem when it comes to these media reports, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I got to tell you, this picture on the back cover of the book, apparently she's just had ice cream. Lauren just had ice cream for the first time, and it looks like she's sticking her tongue out.
Yeah, that was also in Pittsburgh. That's so funny because everybody loves that photo, and it's so cute. When we were in Pittsburgh, we met with a Western Pennsylvania Humane Society volunteer named Abby and her son Reed, and we went to Rita's Frozen Custard. Living on the West Coast, I'd never heard of that, and she told me it's okay to give a dog vanilla ice cream, and I was all nervous, like a mom or so, like, oh, my God, are you sure? And she said, yeah, yeah. So we gave it to her, and I took some pictures. Lauren loved it.
It's so adorable. She's like, man, I like the yeast. They have ice cream here for dogs.
Well, you know what was amazing about Lauren is that she, like I said, she'd been in a shelter for 2 years, but everywhere we went, she was impeccable. I mean, we went through revolving doors. We went in elevators. We went upstairs. We went to parks. When we checked into the Novotel in New York City, they had a marble floor. We went up. We went through revolving doors, two elevators, until we got to the lobby. And when we were sitting in the lobby, she just lay down on the marble floor. And there were these guys in the bar, and they were calling over to her. And I know she would have gone over if I would have let her.
Wow, that just says so much about her and what a stable dog she is.
Yeah, and I was really, I felt very validated because when we went to Animal Farm Foundation, which again was one of the high points of our trip, it's just an incredible facility where they pull shelter pits and then they rehabilitate them, and a lot of them end up becoming service dogs.
I love that.
And the behaviorist there named Bernice Clifford, she took, you know, she spent some time with Lauren, and she said, wow, Lauren's just a really solid dog. She's home ready. And I was so proud. I said, I'm a proud auntie.
Don't blame you. That just will just make you jump up and down with joy because you're right. It validates what you're seeing in the dog every day.
And, you know, people, when they come to shelters or rescues, they'll walk by the kennels and maybe the dog is overly excited or barking, and they don't always get the right impression. And any of the dogs at the Brittany Foundation where Lauren came from, if you took them out for a long walk and you had them in your home for about an hour, I think that they would feel like a normal dog.
Wow.
Yep.
You know? And I think there's this misperception about sheltered animals that they're not as good as. And they're really not only as good, to me, they're better because I think they understand that they're being saved.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Well, it's a marvelous story, Michelle. Now tell our listeners where they can find your book.
Well, it's available exclusively on my website, which is pitstopsbook.com. It's $15, and a dollar from every sale goes back to the Brittany Foundation, where Lauren's from. And if people buy a copy of Pit Stops along with a Lauren bookmark for $20, I'll donate $5 back to the rescue of their choice.
Oh, that's terrific. Love that. Love that, Michelle.
Yeah, we have to do all we can to support people who are in the field doing their really hard day-to-day work of saving these dogs. And they need money, and they need volunteers, they need foster homes, and, you know, this is just my small way of trying to help these people out.
If everybody puts their small way together, we all make a difference.
Yeah, it'll be a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the last line in my book is one dog at a time, because when I was in Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh again, I really saw the problem firsthand. I hadn't been to too many shelters, and when you walk into a shelter and you come out realizing that probably 40 to 50% won't come out of that shelter alive, it makes you feel like the problem is almost too overwhelming to make a difference.
And
I said in the book, I was like, why do I do this? I wish I never opened this Pandora's box. And then I turned around and I looked at Lauren, and Lauren's just sitting there with a big smile on her face and gave me a kiss. And I was like, this is why you do it, one dog at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that?
I think that's it for today.
Thanks so much,
Michelle.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.